Well, tonight we come to the end of the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 12, verses 5 through 13 is our passage. Before we read our passage, I again want to remind you that chapters 10, 11, and 12 are one event in the life of Daniel. And just for clarity, we're going to call that the final event. And we can break down the chapters like this. Chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. In those first verses, we find Daniel fasting, mourning, praying, because his people are facing opposition in Jerusalem, which has brought a halt to the rebuilding of the temple. And then in chapter 10, verses 4 through 21, we read that in response to Daniel's prayer, an angel was sent to Daniel to give him a vision. Before giving the vision to Daniel, the angel describes spiritual warfare he experienced when coming to Daniel. And that passage gave us an interesting glimpse into the reality of angels and demons, what's going on behind the scenes on this earth. And then in chapters 11 and the beginning of chapter 12, we have the vision. That's the vision. And from our perspective, living in the year 2017, we can break down the vision like this. In verses 2 through 25, Daniel describes prophecy, or Daniel is told prophecy, that's now fulfilled. The prophecy was years from fulfillment from Daniel's life, but from our perspective, all of those verses have come to pass. Much of the vision describes events that happened within and between the kingdoms of the Seleucids and the Ptolemies. Those two kingdoms are focused on because Palestine was right in the middle of those two kingdoms. And the focus of the vision is opposition against God's people. And again, we can now look back and see that all that part of the vision was fulfilled in amazing detail. And then in chapter 11, verses 36 through 45, we read prophecy that's not yet fulfilled. And those verses specifically describe the Antichrist who is yet to come. And then in chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, we see what will happen at the very end of life as we currently know it. All bodies will rise from the ground, some to everlasting life, some to everlasting condemnation. And those are the verses we looked at last week. And so now tonight, what we are going to hear in the remaining verses of Daniel are questions after the vision. We will call them post-vision questions. These questions are raised after the vision was told. As I read our passage, I ask you to listen for the questions. There are two of them. And I also ask you to pay attention to who asks the questions. Listen for the questions and who asks the questions. The two questions will be my outline for the evening. Again, our passage is Daniel 12, verses 5 through 13. If you are able, I invite you to stand for the reading. Daniel chapter 5, Daniel chapter 12, reading verses 5 through the end of the chapter. We stand in honor of God, recognizing that this is His holy word to us. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others stood, one on this bank of the stream and one on that bank of the stream. And someone said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream, "How long shall it be till the end of these wonders?" And I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the stream. He raised his right hand and his left hand toward heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and half a time. And that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things would be finished. I heard, but I did not understand. Then I said, "O my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things?" He said, "Go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end. Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand. And from the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away and the abomination that makes desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days. But go your way till the end, and you shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of the days. Let's pray together. Father God Almighty, we ask that you would help us now to understand these final verses in the book of Daniel. Give us whatever insight and understanding we need to have that we might live faithfully for you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, there are two, as I said, post-vision questions asked in this passage, and they will be my outline, question one and question two. Question one is, how long shall it be till the end of these wonders? And concerning that question, what I first of all want to point out is that it is an angel that asks the question. It's an angel. Did you catch that when I read the passage? It's an angel. At the close of the vision, Daniel not only sees the angel who told him the vision, the angel who looks like a man clothed in linen, he also sees two other angels. And it's one of the two other angels who asks that first angel this question. And I ask you to stop and think about that with me, because it's interesting. Why is an angel asking the other angel this question? I wouldn't be a surprise to hear Daniel asking the question, but why is this angel asking the question? Well, I submit to you, we are told why in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter says this, concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you, in the things that they have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. We learn here that angels don't know God's plan. They don't know everything about the future. And Peter says they are just as curious as we are. They long to look into these things. So not only did Daniel see the vision given to him, at least two other angels heard the vision as well. And one of them asks a question, a very natural question. It's a question anyone who has seen or heard the vision wants to ask. How long shall it be till the end of these wonders? The vision makes it clear that this opposition against God's people will last a long time. We already know that from the vision. It's going to last a long time. Kings and kingdoms are going to come and go. We see that in the vision. So it's clear that it's going to last a long time. But how long? That's the question. How long? Daniel would have wanted to know the answer to that question. The angels wanted to know the answer to that question. Even today, over 2,500 years later, we're still wondering now, how long will it be till the end of all these wonders? It's a very natural question. I would say it's the question that most quickly comes to mind when we're thinking about such things. A matter of fact, if any of us had the opportunity to ask just one question of God, well, this very well might be the question we would ask. How long before the end? How long before the second advent of our Lord? It's a question that fits with our morning sermon today, doesn't it? I didn't plan that, by the way. I'm not that organized. I didn't plan that. But God graciously gives sermons that sometimes fit together. An angel asks the question. We all want answered. And lo and behold, we are given an answer, an official answer, a recorded for all of us to read. It's not the answer we necessarily want because we would like far more detail, but it's an answer, an official answer. The answer is given in verse 7. And I ask you to notice that it's given in a very solemn manner. The angel, who looks like a man and who is clothed in linen, he raises both of his hands toward heaven. And he swears by God. Do you see that in verse 7? He swears by him who lives forever, which is God. And that solemn gesture leaves no doubt that this is the official answer to the question, how long before the end? Even if Jesus himself were visually present with us and we could talk to him and get an answer to one question, we would not get any more of an answer today than we're given right here in Daniel. The angel gave the answer with an oath. Swore to him who lives forever. He gave this answer with an oath. This is the official answer. And I submit to you that this answer is given with an oath for two reasons. Two reasons. One reason is this. Part of the answer is really hard to hear. And the other answer is this. There's a promise in the answer. And the angel wants us to know that both the part that's hard to hear and the promise, it's all true. That's why he gives the answer with an oath. I swear by him who lives forever. The oath means that the hard-to-hear news is true, and so is the promise. The hard-to-hear answer is that the end will come when, quote, the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end. You can see that at the end of verse 7, when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end. That's when the end will arrive. That's when all will be concluded. That's when all will be finished. That means that the people of God will be grasping for their last breath, standing on their last leg, unable to endure any longer, about to throw in the towel. Now, last week we saw in the vision that after the Antichrist rises up, there's going to be this time of opposition against God's people that will be worse than any other time in history. And what we're learning tonight is that the persecution is almost going to overcome God's people. God's people are going to end up being tired, worn down, beat up, about to give in. That's when the end will come. And the promise is that the end will indeed come before the last Christians take their final breath, before their legs give out, before they throw in the towel, which means that there will always be a faithful remnant of Christians to the very end. Our Lord Jesus will not let us be defeated. He will come and finish this war that we are in before we Christians fail. There will always be a faithful remnant. Let me read to you a New Testament passage that connects. Now, these are the words of Jesus, recorded in Mark chapter 13. Jesus is talking about the end times. He's describing what will happen after the Antichrist rises up. So it ties directly to what we've been seeing in Daniel. And Jesus says this. But when you see the abomination of desolation standing where he ought not to be, let the reader understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let the one who is on the housetop not go down, nor enter his house to take anything out. And let the one who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. And alas for women who are pregnant, and for those who are nursing infants in those days, pray that it may not happen in winter. For in those days there will be such tribulation as has not been from the beginning of the creation that God created until now and never will be. Let me just pause there. Those words remind you of anything from Daniel? We saw a statement just like that one last week, didn't we? When we looked at that end of Daniel's vision. There will be tribulation like never before. There will be difficult times. And look at what is said next. And if the Lord had not cut short the days, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, whom he chose, he shortened the days.
Now, do you understand that verse? God will cut short the days because if he didn't cut short the days, even the elect wouldn't stand. Their faith would fail. So for the sake of the elect, God cuts short those terrible days. The solemn promise that God will do that is given to us in Daniel. Our Lord Jesus will not let us fail. The end will suddenly come and he will rescue his people. It will seem that Satan is winning. It will seem as if God's people are going to be crushed, but then suddenly, surprisingly, like a thief in the night, the trumpet will sound and Christ our King will descend on the clouds just as he was taken up, and then the end will come. And when Christ comes, he will kill the Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians tells us he will kill the Antichrist with the breath of his mouth. The Antichrist will probably enjoy a lot of luxuries in this world. He will not keep himself from anything that he wants. He will believe himself invincible likely, but then suddenly his end will come. And when it comes, he will be devastated. He will be destroyed. That's one part of the angel's answer. It's hard to hear. Again, it's hard to hear about these terrible days that are coming. But there's a promise in the angel's answer as well. And I now want to explain the promise. Look at verse 7 again. The first part of verse 7 says, "And I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the stream, he raised his right hand and his left hand toward heaven and swore by him who lives forever, that it would be for a time, times, and half a time." The promise is that the length of time to the end will be a time, times, and half a time. Time, times, and half a time. That's symbolic language. And it conveys the meaning of a long time. That's a time. And more times. So a long time, a time, and more times. And it also conveys the reality of God's control over the time and his ability to stop it when he desires. To use the language Jesus uses in Mark chapter 13 that we've already read, the Lord will cut short the days. That's why it's half a time. He's going to cut short those days. So the half a time, that's the promise. It's a promise that it will be cut short by Christ. God's people will not fail because the length of time will be cut short by God. It will be in half. So there is unpleasant news here. It's news we need to know. Those Christians who are alive at the end, they are going to see hard days. They will almost be overtaken by extreme persecution. That's the hard news. But there's glorious, encouraging news here. The time will be cut short. It will be half a time. Christ will return. That's the first question and the answer in these last verses. And then there's one more question and answer. Question two is asked by Daniel. In verse 8 we read, "I heard, but did not understand. And then I said, O my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things?" Daniel did not understand everything about this vision, which makes a lot of sense. I mean, put yourself into Daniel's shoes. He wasn't looking at this vision 2,500 years later like we are. He didn't have the words of Jesus. You know, he didn't hear Jesus say, "I'm going to cut short the tribulation for the sake of the elect." He didn't have anything like that. Daniel didn't know any of the passages about Christ returning on the clouds with the sound of the trumpet to slay the Antichrist with his breath. Daniel didn't know any of that. Daniel knew far less than we do. So there really wasn't much he could understand in this vision. It would have been really hard for him to understand it. And even though we have more scriptures, more illumination, we also don't understand all the vision. We all could easily say with Daniel, "I don't understand everything here. I'm a bit confused. Help me." So Daniel asks a very understandable question. "Oh Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things? I'm not understanding everything here. What's going to be the outcome?" The answer given is one we need to think about and apply.
The heart of the answer is in verse 9. In verse 9, we read that he, the angel, said, "Go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end." That's the answer to his question. Go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end. We can paraphrase that answer this way. Daniel, you understand what you need to understand. You've been given all the answer you need. The answer you have is sufficient. Now, go live faithfully to God. Go live faithfully to God. You don't need to know anything else. It's sufficient. That's the core answer to Daniel's question. Go your way. You understand what you need to understand. I say that's the core answer because it's repeated in the last verse along with some comforting words. In verse 13, the angel says, "But go your way till the end, and you shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of the days." That's an awesome verse to think about. That's a terrific verse. Daniel lived faithfully the rest of his life. We don't know how much longer Daniel lived. He may not have lived very much longer after this. We know he was in his 80s, so he may not have lived much longer. But he remained faithful, and he died. Now think about this. For 2,500 years, his body has been at rest in a grave. His body has been at rest in a grave, and his soul has been at rest in heaven. And while enjoying that rest, that bodily rest and rest of his soul in heaven, Daniel is waiting for the very end, when his body will rise from the grave. We learned that last week at the end of the vision. His body will rise from the grave. His soul will be rejoined to his body. And Daniel will then stand in his allotted place in the eternal earthly kingdom of God. Daniel's enjoying his rest, waiting for the second advent of Jesus, when Jesus will usher in a new heaven and a new earth. And at that time, Daniel, along with all the other believers, will stand in his allotted place, body, and soul. And so the answer to Daniel was, go your way, and know that will happen. Know that someday you will stand in your allotted place, Daniel. And that's the answer to us as well. We will not understand everything about the prophecy until it's all over. But we have been told what we need to know. We have an understanding that we have the understanding that we need. And now we can go on our way and then rest and wait until we stand body and soul in our allotted place in the eternal kingdom of Christ. If you grab hold of that answer, it's very comforting. It's very restful. We don't have to figure out all of God's secret plan. We don't have to know all the details of his timetable. We're called to serve him faithfully. And then rest until we stand in our allotted place in his kingdom. And we can know that will happen. We know the victory belongs to Christ. We know the Antichrist and the devil and all the wicked, who will be part of Satan's kingdom, they will be conquered. We know all we need to know here. That's the core of the answer. I encourage you to take hold of that. Take hold of that and let it fill you with comfort and rest. Now, there are some other statements made to Daniel along with that core answer that you're probably wondering about. And I'll end tonight by explaining that part of the angel's answer. In verse 10, we read this. "Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand." I think we can all basically understand that verse. Many will be Christians, many will be justified, sanctified, will follow Christ, praise God. People will do that. And while that's happening, the wicked will be wicked. And the wicked will be foolish while thinking they understand. That was happening in Daniel's day. It's happening in our day. I mean, there's all kinds of examples where people think they are wise, that they understand, and they don't. You just think of things like, gender-neutral bathroom laws and things like that. The wicked
will think they're wise, they will do their wicked things, but they will be clueless to God's ways and his laws. And during such times, we are to go on our way, meaning we are to follow Jesus. And connecting to what we learned this morning, we are to be those who spread the good news about Jesus. We are to go our way, do what we know we are called to do. So verse 10 is not that hard to understand, but what about verses 11 and 12? Let's look at those. Those verses say, and from the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days. Now, these verses are much more difficult. And you might walk out of here thinking, I don't understand. And that's okay, neither did Daniel. I'm not going to say a lot about these verses, but I will say this. This seems to be a reference to a very specific event. It mentions the burnt offering being taken away. It mentions the abomination that makes desolate. A number of days are referred to. All of this suggests that this is a specific event. So what's the event? Well, we have in our study of Daniel and in our study of history associated with Daniel already discussed one event that fits. Before Christ was born, Antiochus Epiphanes came into Jerusalem. He stopped the Jewish offerings, killed a lot of Jews, desecrated the temple with idol worship and pigs being slaughtered on the altar in the temple. What Antiochus Epiphanes did fits with what we're told here. But interestingly, Jesus refers to these verses and says they're not yet completed. Matthew 24, we hear Jesus say, so when you see, and he's talking to his disciples, he's talking to people who are alive with him, and he says, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. So when Jesus was speaking here, the verses were not yet fulfilled. I do believe Antiochus Epiphanes and what he did is a partial fulfillment. Prophecies can be fulfilled more than once. There can be multiple fulfillments, and I think Antiochus Epiphanes was one fulfillment. But the very fact that Jesus mentions it means that there's going to be another fulfillment. What Antiochus Epiphanes did is just a picture of what's going to be even a greater fulfillment of these verses. And I think it's referring to the very end with the Antichrist. The Antichrist will do something that will be an abomination. It'll be horrendous in the eyes of Christians, in the eyes of God. That's about all we can know from those verses. Now, some prophecies, again, they're not going to make complete sense until they are entirely fulfilled. But again, we don't have to know all the details. We know what we need to know. It's sufficient. We can go on our way as Daniel was told to do. Please bow with me in prayer. Father God Almighty, we thank you for all that we have learned in the past Sunday nights from this wonderful book of Daniel, this revelation that you gave to him. We pray that we would remember what we've heard. We pray that we would be steadfast. We pray that we would be like Daniel, that we would be people of prayer, that we would be people who are willing and ready to be thrown into a lion's den to remain faithful to you. We pray that we would indeed go on our way, serving you faithfully until the very end. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.